This is Bob Tim with Minot Today, and I'm really excited to introduce you to my guest, Ken Frederick, who happens to be my mechanic. Ken owns Magic City Auto and Truck Repair. I'm going to introduce Ken and let him tell you how to find him. Ken?
Good morning. We are located down on 1310 Valley Street. Good way to remember that is it's across from Calix on Valley Street. Once you get in that area, you'll be able to see that our sign is out on the building.
On the south side of the street there, and just before you take 13th Street up the hill. It's easy to find. And if my listeners are like me, they really appreciate a mechanic they know and trust. And that's why you are my mechanic, Ken.
Oh, I appreciate that, Bob.
You also work on all kinds of vehicles. I think I have 5 vehicles, and none of them are the same manufacturer.
Correct.
You've been able to work on all of them. When people have that check engine light that comes on, your code reader will tell you what's wrong no matter what manufacturer.
Correct.
All right. And Ken, right now I imagine people are thinking about what they may need to do for their car for the winter, although we're already into the winter. But a lot of the people around here are up here from the base. When I was more actively in the real estate, I quite often got questions about what is that cord hanging out from under your hood?
That's a good one, yeah.
What advice do you give people if they did just move up here from Florida and they have a fairly new car? Maybe it's new, but it was serviced down in Florida before it came up here. Do they put their antifreeze levels and so forth in an acceptable level for us?
Most manufacturers nowadays have their coolant set to 30 below, 30, 35 below from the factory. But it is a good peace of mind to get that checked out if you've come from a southern state, simply because it obviously doesn't get as cold down there. So it would probably be a good idea to have, you know, those vehicles checked out to make sure they're in that 35 to 40 below range. And yes, that cord hanging out, it's not an electric car. It is a block heater cord, which is used to obviously heat the engine when it's cold out. You plug it in and it's a heater is what it is. Starting a lot easier for vehicles, and not alone, it's easier on them to start because everything is warmed up versus 30 below when you jump in them. So this makes it easier on everything.
I have mine on a timer so that it doesn't have to run as long in the morning too, because I think it's cheaper to plug it in than to run it.
Exactly. And once they get a certain temperature, they're not going to continue to get warmer being plugged in. People think, well, if I leave it plugged in all night, it'll be nice and warm. I mean, it'll definitely be a certain temperature, but I agree, you should have it on a timer to where it maybe comes on for 4 hours at a time. You know, that should be enough time to warm that engine up to ease and making it start.
Ken, having lived in the Northland all my life, I really appreciated how much better they're making cars. I remember the day that when it would get to 20 below, almost half the cars in the neighborhood would have their hood up waiting for a jump start. That's not so common anymore.
No, it isn't. Really, the big thing that's changed that is fuel injection. It forces fuel into the engine versus having to draw it in through a carburetor. So that has made engines start so much better in the wintertime, plus all the computer-controlled components on a vehicle nowadays. It's helped tremendously with that cold starting.
I didn't realize that on the fuel injection. How often do you recommend people have that fuel injection system serviced?
And the big thing is newer vehicles, they don't have a fuel filter actually in line from the pump to the, I mean, it's in the tank now, or some of the early fuel injection vehicles, they were an inline filter that you could change. So that would be every 50,000 miles, a person should have changed that filter. I mean, I've seen them go up higher, but it's a good rule of thumb to change that at 50, 60,000 miles. But nowadays, they're in the tank, so they're good for 150,000 miles, what they say, but...
Wow. And how important is that in-cabin air filter?
That should be changed every other oil change simply for the fact that, you know, most oil changes are recommended 5,000 miles nowadays because of synthetic oil. That in 10,000 miles, that filter has been filtering the outside air for that amount of time. It's getting dirty. And so about every 10,000 miles, 10 to 12,000 miles, they recommend that cabin filter replaced.
I usually change my own oil, and they make that harder all the time as well, too.
Absolutely.
And the last time I was going to change it on my Toyota, whoever changed it before tightened up the filter so tight I couldn't get it off. So when you took it off and you showed me that air filter, I couldn't believe how filthy it was.
Exactly.
That was amazing to me.
It just gets so full. I mean, it depends on the environment you're in. If you're in a real smoggy area, it's probably going to be worse. But, you know, if you're in a rural area where you got a lot of gravel, a lot of dirt, it's going to plug up faster also.
Well, this thing even had leaves in it.
Yeah, it's amazing.
You know, as far as winter driving goes, I also find that tires make such a huge difference.
Absolutely.
And they don't even have to be like your studded snow tires. Just a good all-season tire
exactly.
will make a huge difference.
Big time. Because, I mean, who likes to get stuck on a slight incline because your tires are basically bald or whatever? And, I mean, four-wheel drive helps out. But still, I mean, it makes, like you said, makes it so much better to have good rubber on a vehicle just for traction ability, handling ability.
And correct me if I'm wrong, four-wheel drive does not make any difference in stopping, at least not if you lock
correct.
Those brakes.
Correct, exactly. If you get all four tires locked up, it doesn't matter whether you have four-wheel drive or not, you're still skidding. So by then, your ABS should be activating, and, I mean, it's trying to do the best it can to slow you down, but on a glare ice, it's almost impossible sometimes.
Yeah, because sometimes I really see these people whizzing by.
Yeah, they think, oh, being I have four-wheel drive, I can go anywhere or do anything, but no, it's still a risk of sliding or getting in a collision because of loss of traction.
Another thing I wanted to ask you about, there's a auto parts commercial I like, and I'm not going to try to imitate it here because that would irritate everybody, but it's a squeaking belt thing. Now, when you hear squeaking under your hood, it's probably a belt.
Correct.
Or maybe a pulley.
Could be a pulley or a bearing, yeah.
No matter what it is, if you hear that, you should have it checked out.
Right, because it could be a water pump bearing or something that's kind of trying to let you know, a sign that I'm getting bad, I'm about ready to come apart, or whatever the fact might be. It's an early warning sign is usually what a squeaky belt is. I mean, it still can be just a belt, but sometimes it is an idler pulley or a bearing in a water pump or AC compressor bearing or whatever the fact, you know. One of those items can be one of those that is going bad, and if you ignore it, it might blow the belt off, and then there you are sitting on the side of the road overheating or battery not charging. Or
yeah, and if it's evening, you may not have much for lights or anything.
Exactly.
Just running off of the battery.
Exactly.
And you said just a belt, but today it's not like back in the 60s when you could replace a belt for $3 or whatever.
Right, right.
These now belts are spendy.
Right. Nowadays you're talking a belt can run anywhere from $30 to $100 depending on, you know, what it actually runs. Sometimes that belt runs the whole front of the engine, and it can be a little bit costly.
Absolutely.
And then just to get the belt off sometimes on these new vehicles is a 2-3 hour job just to get the belt off because it's wrapped up in a fan, you know, it's surrounded, you can hardly see it, let alone get it off. So
yeah, I can really relate to the you can hardly see it stuff.
Right.
You know, I used to enjoy working on cars in the late 50 models and 60s.
Where you can see them and get after them. And
yeah, I remember my first friend that had something with an electronic ignition. I think that was a Ford Torino back in the late 70s, maybe.
Yep.
I don't know what that computer did in under his car, but it was intimidating.
Exactly. That was the early part of the electronics, so it was kind of intimidating to everybody. What is this? How come we need this? Or what's wrong with the old conventional style stuff?
And the same thing with, like you said, the transition from the carburetor to fuel injection.
Yeah, people kind of questioned that, but after it got sort of perfected better, it sure changed how people thought of it afterwards. It's just so nice to get in there and hit the key and away it's running, where before you had to set the choke and you had to wait till get it on fast idle so it wouldn't die, you know, the old carburetors, but then they required a lot more maintenance too.
What is it that has made spark plugs also last so much longer? Is that the electronic ignition portion?
That also, and then it's what they're made out of. Spark plugs nowadays are made out of platinum or iridium, and iridiums, they're good for 100,000 miles, so that's really, really changed the so-called tune-ups every 30,000. That's a past thing now. I mean, it's 100,000 miles for a tune-up now because plugs just last that long.
I remember the days of changing plugs.
Sometimes it was less than 30,000.
Yeah, and then it was always a joy if you broke one off and the guts fell into the engine.
Yeah, that was not good.
No, you didn't want to drive it to the shop, that's
no,
for sure.
Exactly.
Ken, what would be your top advice for right now for people listening and making sure they're maintaining their cars?
Basically, the biggest thing, that vehicles are running so much better nowadays that people are forgetting about their oil changes, forgetting about their fluids. Recommended to change oil on synthetic every 5,000 miles, sometimes 7,000 if you do a lot of highway driving. Keep the fluids up to good quality, good, and keep the maintenance done on those, your transmission fluid, your gearboxes, your coolant. You take care of your car, it'll take care of you.
I'm a firm believer in the synthetic oils. You know, I do have that old Honda, though, that burns a little oil.
Right, right.
And so that one I put conventional in. Would you recommend I not put conventional in it?
Vehicles are initially made for conventional oil, so it's not going to hurt them to run conventional oil. The benefit of synthetic is it's definitely easier starting in the wintertime because it flows a lot better. And the life of it's better. So, I mean, it's kind of personal preference. I mean, they've probably done some testing. It probably is better in the long run to run synthetic on an engine, but a lot of it's personal preference.
I noticed today, too, there's a lot more oils out there that actually say high mileage on them.
Right.
What,
that would
you know
be for an engine
about?
That has high mileage. I suppose it has a different refinery product in it that doesn't break down maybe as well as other oils, so that it would make an engine with high mileage not use maybe as much oil because maybe they put something in it that would help that as far as sealing the rings or a little less abrasive. I mean, you don't want abrasive in oil, but this is something that would make it withstand that kind of mileage on a vehicle.
Is there an aspect of your service that you would say, if your car is doing this, I am definitely your man to come in? I know that you're a great mechanic. I haven't been able to stump you with any of my 5 vehicles, but is there anything that you really enjoy working on that you'd like to let people know about?
When I was up at the dealership, I was trained and certified in GM diesels, it's Duramaxes, so I mean, that was what I worked on daily. After I went on my own, I've worked on quite a few, but not nearly as many as I used to in the past, but I really feel comfortable with those GM diesels. I'm not trying to brand, specifically say one brand or the other, but that's what I was working on when I was at the dealership. As far as anything else, I pretty much work on everything.
I'm glad you brought up the dealership because Magic City Auto and Truck Repair has been in its current location for 2 years, but you have 28 years of service?
Correct. Service history, yeah.
So you know the motors.
Yeah, hopefully.
And you mentioned, too, you're ASE certified. And what does that mean?
That means every 2 to 3 years you have to go in and you take tests to recertify yourself as far as keeping up to date on what's changing in the world. So, yeah, it's a good program to kind of keep you up to date on what's out there. Not alone it gives the customers that satisfaction that, hey, I don't have some guy who doesn't know what he's doing working on my car. I mean, he's done some training. He's done some school work. So, I mean, it's a good peace of mind.
Yeah, it's like a doctorate.
Correct.
Ken, we're already running out of time. So, again, I'd like to have you give the address of where to find you, a phone number. I don't know if you do Facebook or anything, but...
Yep, we have a Facebook account, yeah.
Excellent. Let's give all that information again.
Okay, we're located on 1310 Valley Street in Minot. We have a Facebook account. It would be under Magic City Auto and Truck. Our phone number is 852-2589. We have a website we're kind of working on. We have one, but we'd like to improve it in the future just to get it a little more up to date.
And most important, again, I think you're very easy to find. You just head east on Valley Street and you're, I'm going to say about 8 blocks to the east of Burdick there.
Right.
And on the right-hand side of the road, just before you start going up the hill for 13th Street there, you're right there.
Correct.
Ken, thanks so much for being my guest today.
Thank you, Bob.